If the Detroit Pistons don't make any kind of improvements throughout the rest of the year on the defensive side of the basketball, some changes are going to have to be made.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. I'm recording this first. I want to say, for all my fellow Lions fans out there that happen to be listening to the Pistons podcast, what a great win for the Detroit Lions. Sadly, it wasn't enough to get them to the playoffs because of the Seahawks, but that was a crazy win. I'm so happy about that win, man. I'm recording this right after that win. I'm super juiced. But time to go down, time to lose some of that juice and go back down because we're going to talk about the Pistons and their defense. Also, on the same day as this playoff, or not playoff game, but this game against the Packers for the Lions, the Pistons played earlier in the day. They played against the Philadelphia 76ers, who did not have Joel Embiid. So if they had Joel Embiid, it was definitely going to be rough. It was 100% going to be pretty rough for the Pistons. But since he was not playing, you thought maybe the Pistons could kind of hang around. Maybe they could play this team tough, all that kind of stuff. That's not what happened. They did only end up losing this game by 12, but they really should have lost the game by 20, and the Sixers dominated from the get-go. And we're at the point now. The Pistons rank 29th in the NBA in defense, 117.7 defensive rating. That's more than 2 points worse than the next worst team. That's the Houston Rockets. We've reached the point now, January 9th, when I'm recording this. I'm ready to make a statement. I'm ready to make a claim. If the Detroit Pistons do not start to show some kind of progression on the defensive side of the floor over the next few weeks, and if they don't start to show some defensive improvement by the end of the year, some major changes need to be made. Some major changes need to be made. Over the next few weeks, if it doesn't start to get better, guys need to be traded. If it doesn't start to show like it's getting better by the end of the year, a change with the coaching staff needs to be made. The defense, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse because this is what we've talked about literally, I feel like, almost every podcast, but it just keeps getting worse and worse. Against the Sixers, without Joel Embiid, the Sixers opened up with a 35-point quarter, a 36-point quarter, then a 29-point quarter on the Detroit Pistons. They are on pace to score over 130 points in this game. Now, they only ended up scoring 123 in the fourth quarter when they took the foot off their gas and they stopped playing some of the starters. But the Pistons basically gave up 3 30-plus point quarters. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. And the median defensive rating in the NBA, the median defensive rating, 15th, is the Atlanta Hawks at 112.9. That's the median. That's like average. That's not exactly the average, but that's the 15th team in the league. And the Pistons are damn near, actually, no, they are. They're 5 points away from just being at that point. That's not even a good defense. They're more than 5 points away from the defensive rating of a median team in the NBA. That's how bad their defense is. And again, they started Sadiq Bey and Bojan Bogdanovic together with Isaiah Stewart starting, and you know how that went. Sadiq was basically nowhere to be found. He was 1 of 4 tonight, 2 points. He was nowhere to be found. The defense, there's no excuse for this defense. Tanking or rebuilding, restoring, all that stuff. There's no excuse for the defense to be this bad. I said before the year, I thought the Orlando Magic would be better than the Pistons. But the Magic have the 24th ranked defense in the league. Now, that's still bad. But they're still over 3.5 points better than the Pistons on defense. If the Pistons were hovering around there, okay, we'd be cool. We'd be cool. Orlando Magic aren't like world beaters. The Indiana Pacers, they weren't supposed to be world beaters this year. They're 18th in defense. The Oklahoma City Thunder weren't supposed to be world beaters this year. They're 11th in defense. The Sacramento Kings, they're 25th in defense. The Hornets, they're 26th in defense. The Hornets, the team that we always say every time the Pistons play them, the main thing that everyone says about them is, well, you won't see any defense played in this game. The Hornets never played defense. Their defense was so bad, Steve Clifford went publicly after one of the Pistons games and said that they might as well not even play games. They're going to be this bad defensively. He called out everyone. Was straight up. And they're more than 3 points better than the Pistons on defense. The Charlotte Hornets. It's unacceptable. Whether you're tanking, whether you're rebuilding, whether you're restoring. The defense that the Pistons are putting out there is absolutely unacceptable. And if it doesn't get better over the next few weeks, Bojan or Sadiq Bey need to be moved. And if it's not better by the end of the year, the Pistons need to move on from Dwayne Casey. I'm at that point with it. I don't think that's me being too critical of Dwayne Casey. I don't think that's me being too critical of Bojan and Sadiq Bey. When you are this bad defensively, you warrant everything that gets said. You warrant every kind of major, you know, change that some people say needs to be made. There is no... No personal feelings with it. You're not taking personal shots. The Pistons defense is one of the worst defenses I've ever watched. It's unacceptable. And if it doesn't get better, things need to change. Things need to change. They need to change quickly. They need to show some improvement immediately. It's unacceptable. It's utterly unacceptable. Before we move on, man, since we're on down, talking down on the Pistons, in this first segment, which, you know, I don't like doing, but like they leave me no choice. I can't defend that. I can't defend what we're seeing out there on the defensive end. But to stay on some negatives, look, the Pistons need to figure out if they want to trade Bojan, obviously. I've said before that, and we'll talk about this actually a little bit later, but I've said before that I think there's a sneaky decision that they're going to have to make in the backcourt in the offseason. This decision I'm about to say isn't a sneaky one. This is a glaring, being pushed right in their faces, and they're going to need to make a decision soon. And that's with Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey, I am extremely concerned about what Sadiq Bey's role is on this team, not just this year, but moving forward. I'm concerned about Sadiq Bey, the player. And more importantly, he's contributing to how bad the defense is as well. Like, there's multiple players. Like, they don't have good defenders on this roster to begin with. Like, I think only, we've said this before, only Killian, Isaiah Stewart, maybe Livers, and were, like, the only plus defenders, maybe. That's maybe. And obviously, no one's the well when you got him in drop coverage. But, look, I'm concerned about Sadiq Bey. And again, not even just him as a player. Now, if you believe that he's going to turn it around and play a little bit better, okay, you can believe that. It's not just the player that I'm concerned. I'm extremely concerned about what his fit on this team is. What's his purpose on this team? He's not a good defender at the wing position. He's not shooting well from beyond the arc. He goes non-existent a lot. He's incredibly inconsistent. He's up and down, up and down. And at that wing position, you combine all those things, that's not a recipe for success in today's NBA. Along with the fact that the Pistons are, you know, him and Bojan are one of the biggest reasons why they're so bad defensively. I think they have to make a decision, man. I feel like that's a decision that's going to have to be made soon. And, you know, I'm not happy saying that, but I don't see how anyone who's watched Sadiq Bey this year can say that that's not the case. It is. So, I mean, tonight he was basically, there's too many nights where he's just, either he's non-existent like tonight, or when he does get noticed it's because he's messing up on defense. Now, it was great that he had that game winner the other night against the Warriors, but I didn't say it after that game. I don't know about you guys. Like, some of you guys may like it. I want to actually hear from you guys, then we'll move on. I honestly don't know how I feel about the fact that he just broke the play and said, I want the ball, so I wanted to win the game for us. I don't know how I feel about that. I it worked, so we didn't say nothing immediately after. I wanted to celebrate it because it absolutely deserved to be celebrated. But now that we've let it, like, chill for a minute, I don't know how exactly I feel about that. So, yeah, man, just the defense is terrible. And I think they had some decisions to make on that wing position soon, very soon, like before the trade deadline soon. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, we're having a discussion. We're having a dialogue about Killian Hayes. A discussion I feel like has been ignored, or we keep pushing it because we don't want to overreact. We keep pushing it because we don't want to believe what we're seeing. But I believe what we're seeing now. And I don't think we need to keep pushing it off. We're having the discussion in the next segment. But first, you guys got to hear from one of our sponsors, TurboTax. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who'll do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you don't have to. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste not taxes. Sing not taxes a lullaby. Hope not taxes sleeps through the night. Grab a saddle and ride not taxes into the sunset. With the TurboTax 100% expert guarantee, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish so you can relax. Feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax. For all service products only, video meeting while expert does your taxes required. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Again, come to TurboTax.com to have an expert do your taxes so you don't have to. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Killian Hayes in this game was yet again the Pistons' best player on the floor. He had 26 points, tied his career high of 26 points. He had 26, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block. He shot 11 of 17 from the field, 4 of 8 from deep. He was a minus 3 on the floor in a game the Pistons lost by 12. It's time that I introduce the discussion. Now, I know you Killian Hayes haters are going to not be happy about this discussion. And some of you guys may feel like, Koo, you might be going a little too fast here. I don't feel that way. I feel like we've reached the point where this is a discussion that has to be had. And the discussion I'm talking about is Killian Hayes is making everybody rethink. He is making everyone from ownership, front office, coaching staff, teammates, the fan base. He's making everyone rethink what his future on this team actually is. This version of Killian Hayes, if he plays like this the rest of the year, and he still has a lot of stuff to improve. He needs to get to the line. He needs to get better finishing around the rim. But mind you, he's only 21 years old. He's going into, I really consider this his second season. But this is only his third season, going into his fourth season next year. Again, he's only 21 years old. He's only 8 months older than Jaden Ivey. And he's already shown this big of an improvement after this past offseason, putting so much work into his jump shot. And that right there, that's something we'll talk about a little bit later. Stay tuned. Pin that, how much work he put into his jump shot this offseason. Just keep that in mind. But he's not even close to a finished product. But if he plays like this the rest of the year, he's going to make the Pistons decide, is he starting next year? Should he be their starter moving forward? Because the player he is right now, combined with the defense and the playmaking, the outside shooting, the creation to create pull up jumpers for himself, the separation that he's creating, the ability to create for teammates, play unselfish, be a connector, and also discovering the way to balance that with also being aggressive. That's an archetype of a player that is insanely valuable in the NBA. And again, if he continues to play like this the rest of the year, Killian Hayes is making his case that he should be the starter for the Pistons moving forward at that guard position. He's making that case. Now, obviously, there's some caveats to this that I'm saying. Just some caveats. If the Pistons get the number 2 pick, obviously you get Scoot Henderson. And there you go. Now you got Scoot, and obviously everything else doesn't matter. I've said before, if you get Scoot, Jaden Ivey might even be, you know, on the chopping block. You might move Jaden Ivey to go get yourself a legit wing then to pair with Cade, Scoot, and Duren to get a legit wing by using Ivy for that. That's looking way ahead of the future. That's not me saying that the Pistons should be looking to move their guy. I'm just saying this is one of the caveats. If they were to get the number two overall pick, they obviously wouldn't be able to get Wemby. Scoot's the next generational guy. Him and Wemby both generational, it sounds like. You get Scoot. That's a caveat there. The second one is, and that's the only real caveat. This is just a disagreement, I suppose. If the Pistons don't feel this way about Killian Hayes, if he continues to play this, the rest of the year, if they don't feel that way about him, and they feel like that he, you know, they're still going to start Jane Ivy with them, with Cade, then I think Killian Hayes will be traded this offseason. Look, I'm big, and some of you guys may not be as big into this, but I personally, I am big into this. I'm big into listening to what players say. I'm big into reading their body language. I'm big into listening to not just body language, their actual language, what they're actually saying. And you guys remember, go back 2 months, right before the season, we had a podcast talking about what Killian Hayes had been saying to BN Sports. And the overall gist of what he said in his interview with BN Sports was he felt like he was a starter. He said that he was not part of the decision. He didn't have any input in the decision to draft Jaden Ivey. Like, obviously he didn't, but he made a point to say that. He felt like the team had goals for him, but he had his own goals for himself. And he felt like that he, you know, the first two seasons hadn't gone well, but he still felt like he could reach what his people were saying about him as the seventh overall pick. That's not that. If you believe what was coming out of his mouth right there and compare that with, or combine that with what he's done over the last 2 months, and if he continues to play like the rest of the year, that's not a player that wants to be a six man getting 20 minutes a game. That's not what that is. That's a player who believes he still has a chance to hit the heights that was put on him when he was drafted seventh overall. And damn it, he should. Damn it, I do. I'm just going to come out and say it. I do. I still believe in the insane ceilings that were put on Killian Hayes. Maybe, let me not say the insane ceilings, because some of them were like James Harden and like that. Now, I don't know about that, but like a long-term starter, his absolute ceiling being maybe a borderline all-star, like, and his absolute ceiling, I still believe in that. I don't think that's completely out the door. Now, is it likely? No, it's not likely. But do I think it's just impossible for him to reach that still? No. And you want to know one of the reasons why? It's a lesson I learned from you guys. I learned it from you, the listener. You guys let me know all offseason that I needed to believe in Isaiah Stewart's work ethic. When I was down on Isaiah Stewart all offseason with his shooting in the power forward position, you guys told me the dude's work ethic is insane. You have to bet on a guy like that. Believe in that. I didn't. And now I was proven wrong this season so far. Stu's shooting from outside pretty well. He's playing pretty well at the power forward position. Him and Duren have been playing pretty well together. And he's proven me wrong. And I attribute that completely to his work ethic. And that's why we go back to what I told you guys at the beginning of this segment. This past offseason, Killian Hayes didn't just work on his jumper. He didn't just get 1,000 shots up a day. He went to, I believe what James Edwards said in his athletic article, 4 different shooting coaches to have his shot completely reworked. He worked with John Beilein. He worked with his main trainer. I forget the main trainer's name. I'm so mad that I just went blank on it. But he has a main trainer that he worked with. He went to 4 different shooting coaches to completely rework his shot. And this is something you guys need to understand. That is big for me. Because a lot of NBA players, you talk to people who are in organizations and close with players, etc. Players don't like changing their jump shot. They don't like reworking it. They're incredibly prideful. They're incredibly arrogant. And they should be. That's how they got to where they are. But they're incredibly arrogant and don't like to change their jump shot. They feel like it's just a slight. Now, that's why you don't see many players do it. But Killian Hayes went into the offseason, completely reworked his jumper. Not only reworked his jumper, but reworked how he gets into his jumper, changed his footwork, worked on all of that. And it came to fruition for him this season. That shows me that's not a dude who is happy with where he's at. That's not a dude who believes that his ceiling's down here. That's not a dude who's okay with accepting, you know, I've played well this year. I'm cool with just being here. No, that tells me that this is a dude who wants to reach where he believes he can go. This is a dude who believes that he can still get to a place that people had for him. So I believe in this next offseason, The finishing will be the next thing that improves. In this next offseason, getting to the line may be the next thing that improves. So I'm a big, you guys know I'm a big believer in Killian Hayes, but it's not just me anymore. He's played for long enough now during this season, during this 2 month stretch, with enough performances like this. And look, a lot of times over the last 2 months, I don't think this is a hot take, he's been the Pistons' best player a lot of the times over the last 2 months. He's been one of, if not the most impactful player for the Pistons over the last 2 months. You may argue Bojan, I'd give you it. But majority, a lot of nights, you can argue it's been Killian Hayes. And if you value defense a little bit more, it might just be Killian Hayes outright. He's making this a discussion. Is it a foregone conclusion? Absolutely not. Is it something that needs to be written in stone? Absolutely not. But it's a discussion that everyone needs to be thinking of. He's forced this discussion amongst the Pistons community, amongst the Pistons front office. There's going to be a decision that has to be made. And it's a good decision to have. This is a better decision than, this is a better situation, I should say, to be in rather than the Killian Hayes we saw the first 10 games and having to decide we just have to cut him because he's not good at the end of the year or trade him, get rid of him. No, they find themselves in a pretty great spot. And I guarantee you that Troy Weaver has probably not been smiling any brighter, any bigger than he has over the past 2 months. Because his first overall pick, the first pick he's ever made, that seventh overall pick that a lot of people were done with, is showing that he is going to be worth that seventh overall pick. And he may be able to hit what he believes is his ceiling at some point. It's a discussion, y'all. Killian Hayes is playing pretty damn good basketball. And there's no reason to believe that dude that has exhibited that work ethic at 21 years old, with the limited amount of games he's already played, is not going to get even better going to the offseason and next year. This dialogue will continue to be had. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other things that happened in this Philadelphia 76ers game for the Detroit Pistons. And actually, we'll also talk about some rumors that we heard before this game about the Detroit Pistons and Bojan Bogdanović. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all of the fat and calories? Then you got to buy a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. And if you're like me, where you want to eat healthier, but don't want to consume nasty-tasting foods just because they're healthy for you, man, I got the perfect thing for you. It's Built Bar. Healthy is actually tasty with Built. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. You'll think it's some, you know, sugar rush. But no, it's really good for you. Perfect for a New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, which is my favorite, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars online, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to the Sam's Club, run in, grab a 13-bar box with their hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. Take on Built Bar. If you want a good treat that's incredibly healthy for you for the rest of this year, it could really help you with your New Year's resolution. That's Built Bar, the best tasting and most healthy protein bar ever. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So I know initially I did want to talk about some of the other things we saw in this Sixers game. Initially I did. So I'll go with some, like, just quick hitters. Diallo played pretty well. I like his energy. He's played really well over the last few games. His energy has been really nice. Nerlens Noel had a 12-minute play where I don't know exactly how to feel about it. He hit a few jumpers. That's not something that's going to happen. So don't know how I feel about that one. Isaiah Stewart played an all right night. He was extremely aggressive. He was 7-15. Actually, he had a really good game. 20 points, 13 rebounds. Wasn't the most efficient, but he was incredibly aggressive and active on the glass against Montrezl Harrell. So he went 0 for 3 from deep, though. Continue to watch that. I liked his aggression overall, though. Boyan continued to be pretty bad defensively, but also didn't shoot well from the floor in this game. So it wasn't a great night for Boyan. Sadiq Bey, again, was just completely non-existent. 1-4 from the field. 2 points in 28 minutes. Just I didn't even notice he was on the field half the time. So, or on the court. I'm saying field because I just got done watching the Lions send Aaron Rodgers into retirement. But anyways, get back to Bojan Bogdanović rumors, which is what I was really wanting to talk about on the podcast today. There was a rumor that came out today, a report that came out today, that there is 10-plus teams that are interested in Bojan Bogdanović. Now, That continues to reinforce what we talked about in the podcast the other day when we were talking about that this is a seller's market for the Detroit Pistons because there's so many teams buying and the Pistons who may have the most attractive and most wanted asset in a league that's wide open right now. There's no like Golden State Warriors out there of the 2018-19 Warriors like when it's KD and stuff. There's no overwhelming favorite. Everyone, there's like probably 12 teams that feel like they can win the championship this year. There's probably a lot of them. And they feel like if they just get that one more piece, they can go. And the Pistons hold that one asset that's probably the most viable. Maybe Kyle Kuzma, if the Wizards are actually looking to trade him. I don't believe that they actually are. I think the Wizards are like kind of middling right now. And I don't know if like where they're at. I don't know if I really buy that they're trying to move on from him. They're only two games out of 10th. They could be moving. I mean, if they are, Kyle Kuzma probably is a little bit higher than Bojan. I just don't know if I completely buy they're actually trying to move him. But nonetheless, even if Kyle Kuzma is on there, Bojan, he's still going to be, it's going to be like 1A, 1B when it comes to who's wanted the most on the market at the deadline. And again, according to Mark Stein, you guys will probably remember Mark Stein, who was formerly with ESPN. Now he's, I don't know if he's anywhere else. I know he just writes on his Substack a lot in his reports and in what he hears. You guys probably know him from his time of ESPN for a while. He said that there's double-digit teams interested in Bojan and the Pistons are looking for an unprotected first-round pick. I'm just going to continue to say what I've been saying. The Pistons should 100% be trading Bojan Bogdanović. The demand is insane right now, which means the value should be pretty damn high. They should 100% be able to get an unprotected first-round pick from someone. And if they, I'll tell you this much. This is where I'll stay with it. If the Pistons do get offered a first-round draft pick, and trust me, I'll know if they were offered a first-round draft pick. If they get offered an unprotected first-round draft pick, and the thing surrounding the unprotected first-round draft pick isn't some, like, horrific salary, like, where it just doesn't make sense. If I find out, and if I know that they were offered a deal that was pretty good and worth the unprotected first-round pick, and they declined it instead of trading Bojan, I'm going to be pretty heated. I'm going to be pretty damn heated. This is the perfect time to trade Bojan. The defense is not getting better with Bojan. You need a wing that can play two ways, not just a one-way wing, especially if you actually are interested in moving on next or moving up into the standings next year. And if you get an unprotected first-round pick, it's not just about adding another teenager for all you guys who are like, oh, we can't just keep adding young guys. It's not just about that. If you trade Bojan and you get one of those unprotected first-round picks along with another asset, you can then package those assets and maybe another young asset that's already on your team in the offseason to then go get a legit player on the wing to pair with Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, Jaden Ivey, whoever the hell else is on the team. You need assets to go get guys. The Pistons don't have assets. Bojan is their best way to get assets to then go get legit guys. If they don't take advantage of that with what sounds like is a heavy demand in a seller's market with a value for him, I feel like with all that, it only makes sense that the value will be high for Bojan. If they don't take advantage of this, I'm going to be pretty frustrated. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But that's just where I'm at with it. You guys may disagree. And if you do, let me know in the comment section or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. That's all I've got for you guys today. Let me know what you guys thought about everything in this podcast with the same way. YouTube section comments or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. Again, all of you guys who are Lions fans, great win. I know we didn't make the playoffs, man. I know this is a Pistons podcast, but come on. That's pretty big time. I know they didn't end up making the playoffs because the Seahawks, you know, did their thing, but great win for the Lions. Great day for Detroit sports fans because that was big time, sending Aaron Rodgers out like that. So happy. So tough Pistons game, but the Lions made up for a lot of us who are Pistons fans, are also Lions fans, big time. I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Stay safe out there. Go Pistons. Again, I'll see you guys in the next one. But until then, I'll see you guys later, and peace out.